Welcome to Keep the Republic with Dr. Daniel Bobinski, editor of True Idaho News. Keep the Republic is brought to you by the Political Action Committee, Conservatives of Picture Perfect Window Cleaning, and ThinkExodus.org. And now, here's Daniel.
Well, hello and welcome to Keep the Republic. Dr. Daniel Bobinski here, your host for the next half an hour, talking about issues facing Idaho. And I know it's December, but it's also always a time to think about how we structure our lives and structure our community. And I was at a holiday event recently and sitting across the table from Doug Trouble, who is the author of a book called Red Badge, a veteran's peace officer's commentary on the Marxist subversion of American law, enforcement, and culture. And we had a great conversation, and I thought, you know, I've had Doug on the show before, but I need to have him back on because this stuff is so important to the future of our culture, the future of our society. And so I asked him to come back on. Doug Trouble, welcome back to Keep the Republic.
Thank you, sir.
I am so glad you're able to make the time to come in. You have written this book. It is definitely not a book for people who would lean left. It is a book, like it says, talking about the Marxist subversion of American law enforcement. I have to ask you this. What motivated you to write this book?
Well, the pains I suffered in my early career, frankly, not getting hired for certain jobs because I found out because I was a white male. I had to ask why. I'm bringing all the goods to the table. You'd think you'd want to hire someone with my background, and I wasn't being hired. And then when I finally got hired, I was not promoted based on my ability, my resume. You'd think I would have been promoted. Well, I wasn't. Instead, I was passed over by the president of the Latino Police Officers Association, and he had, if you compare his resume to mine, they're worlds apart. And so I started to ask myself, what is influencing police work, policy within the agency? It certainly isn't merit-based. And so I started to explore, and it took me to Marxism and the discovery that social justice is undermining criminal justice, and the superficial things are driving decisions instead of merit and quality.
Social justice superseding true justice. That's an interesting phrase because we see it so often now, and it's become kind of a norm, this whole idea of social justice. I remember, I've been in contact with G. Edward Griffin, who has spoken a lot about the way that the Marxists have infiltrated our culture through the minorities in this country, because they couldn't separate us by class. They couldn't separate us from upper class, middle class, lower class, because Americans know if you want to work a little harder, you can change your position in society. So how do you divide us? Because that's how they divided Russia, was by class. So how do you divide us in America? You have to find some way to divide us. The easiest way is skin color. And so that's where the Marxists really approached. This is going back to the 1950s. They made a concerted effort for this. And so what you're describing is exactly that.
That's right. Like, for example, in a lot of agencies, larger agencies, you have police officer associations based on race. So you have the Black Police Officer Association, the Hispanic or Latino Police Officer Association, the LGBT, police associations. These are like little mafia groups within the agency that protect, quote, their own. Instead of being blue, let's just say, the color of the uniform, taking the oath and serving the people, they serve themselves. And it's difficult to fire someone who should be fired if they belong to one of those, I call them mafia groups within the larger department. They're virtually untouchable. And so, as you said correctly, there is a division, and Marxists gain power through division, and that permeates the police agencies as well. So the chief of police has a difficult time firing someone who's represented by one of these racially exclusive self-serving entities within the agency itself. So this division is dangerous. It doesn't serve the public. It only serves the people promoting the division.
Yeah. And by no means, by no means are we trying to make this a racial issue, because this is really an ideological issue.
Exactly.
It's just that the people on the left, the Marxists, have taken the racist divisions and capitalized on it and expanded it.
That's right. I mean, for example, if you happen to be an officer of, let's say, Mexican descent, and you refuse to join the Latino Police Officers Association, you have a lot of pressure to join. And if you don't, you're an outcast to them. They see you as some sort of a sellout. Well, that's obviously not the case, because you're motivated by the right thing. You simply want to serve the public, not just some segment of the public, but the whole. You know, your color is blue. And your oath is supposed to be to two constitutions, the United States Constitution and the state constitution, not some race-based agenda.
Exactly. So you didn't start off as a sheriff. You started off as a police officer, right?
I did. And more specifically, I started off as a reserve police officer. That's a volunteer police officer back in 1984. And then in 1986, I was hired full-time.
So what made you make the shift from thinking police as a career to sheriff?
That happened when I went to the Sheriff's Academy. See, in California, there are different academies peppered throughout the state. And so my agency, which was a city agency, the city of Chula Vista, California, located 7 miles from the Mexican border, they sent me to the nearest academy, which was the San Diego County Sheriff's Academy. On day one, the sheriff at the time, Sheriff John Duffy, addressed all the cadets, and he gave a speech on the history and unique differences between a elected sheriff, chiefs of police, and federal law enforcement. And I thought that was fascinating, and that started me on kind of a search for more information on that topic. And as my career evolved, I thought, I'm more wired to be a deputy sheriff than a police officer, and I'm also more wired to be a peace officer than a police officer. And so when I chose to move to Idaho, I had an opportunity to start over again, and I thought, I'm going to be a deputy sheriff.
It's interesting, the word police and the word policy are so similar.
Yeah.
Explain the difference between police and sheriff.
Well, police officers are, in essence, to put it simply, security guards for the city. The city is a municipal corporation, and the police officers are hired to enforce, of course, state law, but also city ordinances. Yeah, and so they're not essential. If you look at the state constitution for Idaho, sheriffs must exist. They're required by the state constitution to exist in all 44 counties. And so they're authentic in that regard. And it's also an ancient office. If a police department folded, if a city went upside down, the sheriff would have to step in and provide the services that the police department, you know, currently holds. Also, the way they're funded, property taxes, although I think property taxes are immoral, property taxes, it's just like taxing your groceries, it's also immoral. But the way they're funded, you know, the sheriff is funded by property taxes, and the police department, a lot of their revenue comes from citations. And I don't believe in taxation through citations. So the way that the agencies are funded and how they come to exist are quite different. The sheriff is the chief law enforcement officer of the county. He must exist in Idaho by state constitution, whereas I say the police departments are sort of a luxury that evolve for logical reasons, but they're not essential. They don't have to exist by constitutional.
So my dad was a police officer for 28 years, and you talk about income through citations. he used to say that they tell the public, no, we don't have a quota. He says, we have a quota.
Oh, absolutely. It's not written in policy. What you'll find it in is in the performance evaluation. So if your sergeant says, you know, Officer Trouble, you're not being, quote, productive enough. You know, your stats are too low. Well, that puts pressure. And what that does is that destroys discretion, or certainly compromises discretion, when you're getting pressure from your sergeant, who's got pressure from the lieutenant, from the captain, from the chief, from the mayor. Hey, revenue's down. You guys need to be more, quote, productive. That's wrong. I think, again, that's immoral. I think it should be just up to me. Is a citation the right thing in this situation, in the total context of the stop of this? Is that the right thing? I've stopped people who fully expected to get a citation, and they just got a warning. That really throws them off. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't like the discretion being compromised by pressure to bring in revenue for the city. See, sheriff's deputies typically will give you, you're more likely to get a warning from a sheriff deputy than you are a city police officer because of the way the sheriff's offices are funded. Now, if you have a contract city, that may be a little different, because what happens often is cities will cut and paste the traffic code into city ordinances, and then they'll encourage their officers to write under the city ordinance, for example, for a stop sign violation, and that causes more money to go in the city coffers instead of being divided up between other.
Yeah. Well, we're talking with Doug Trouble, author of the book Red Badge, a veteran peace officer's commentary on the Marxist subversion of America, law enforcement, and culture. Our show is sponsored, by the way, by Conservatives of. They are a political action committee that focuses on constitutional issues. They started right here in the Treasure Valley. Their mission is to help constitutionally minded conservative Christians get elected to office. And they work by donations. And in fact, we've got people sitting in our state legislature today who are there because of the help of Conservatives of. Like I said, they work by donation. So if you want to help candidates and causes that align with constitutional principles, I strongly recommend making a donation of any size to Conservatives of. Just go to conservativesof.com. And while you're there, go ahead in the notes section, say, hey, thanks for sponsoring the Keep the Republic show. Once again, that's conservativesof.com. Doug Trouble, author of Red Badge. I want to read a little bit from this summation of your book. It says, in Red Badge, author Doug Trouble, a 32-year, this is probably dated now, right? Veteran lawman pulls no punches as he delivers hard-hitting evidence that reveals how Marxists have repackaged themselves and are subverting the rule of law with social justice and an administrative state superimposed over the Constitution. What does that mean, superimposed over the Constitution?
Well, you can see the branches of government working, but overlaid is this administrative state, all these alphabet agencies. It's both at the state level and the federal level. You know, in the U.S. Constitution, we the people through the states gave the federal government 17 responsibilities, 17 delegated things to do. And delegation, right, it implies that it comes from above. So the people through the states were above the federal government originally. And we said, federal government.
And still are.
Well, that's the problem. That's where the administrative state comes in. And we need to, we need to reestablish the proper purpose of government. You know, there's been an inversion in the power and purpose of government really through the administrative state, through the evolution of the administrative state, which is unconstitutional because it goes beyond the 17 delegated responsibilities. And so that is what I'm referring to. We have a lot of armed bureaucrats wearing police costumes enforcing regulations. And regulations are not law. The Constitution is clear. Congress has all power to pass law. So how much power does that give a bureaucrat to pass law? Zero. And Thomas Jefferson in the Declaration of Independence referred to such things as pretended legislation. And so if we don't have elected officials and sheriffs are very important in this regard that understand that, what they end up doing is legitimizing the illegitimate. For example, sheriffs often give power, for example, in this county, Ada County, cross swear the Bureau of Land Management, give them deputy authority. So they actually have a deputy card so they can enforce state law in Idaho. Well, in my view, the Bureau of Land Management is a counterfeit law enforcement agency. It's a regulatory, they're armed bureaucrats wearing police costumes. I would not expand the power of something illegitimate. I would take that away.
Yeah. Something that gets said quite a bit, and that is that people don't have their rights taken from them. They just give them up. And the same thing you talk about, you know, who has the power to make a law. Back a couple of years ago here in Ada County, Idaho, we had the health and welfare people. That was the top down authoritative mandates to the different county, the different sections of health. And they the Southern District Health, they said, hey, we're going to fine you and prison you if you're not wearing a mask. And I'm going, you don't have the authority to make that law. And yet people were submitting to that idea. And I'm thinking, it's how it applies. They don't take away those rights. You're just giving them up. You can say no to that kind of thing.
I agree entirely. That's a great example. And that's another example where the sheriff, whose authority is countywide. So city limits applies to the city, not the sheriff. So let's say in that situation that you just described, say a city officer is going to enforce that kind of a rule. The sheriff should interpose, literally physically stand between the officer and the citizen and defend the constitutional rights of that citizen. Keep in mind that the true minority in this country is the individual, the person of one, right? So I don't subscribe to special rights, group rights. I believe that my oath is to not a person, not a governor, not a mayor, not a judge, but to the Constitution of the state of Idaho and United States. And so in that scenario you described, my role is to interpose and protect that individual's rights from the overreach of the administrative state. And just as you described, that's an example of the proper role of a sheriff, not just fighting crime, but defending the God-given rights of the true minority, the individual. And so just because it's stamped by health and welfare or whatever the bureaucratic agency is, no, it doesn't hold up. But if I don't honor my oath, then government's unrestrained.
That's the key, is government being unrestrained. And what you're saying is that the constitutional-minded sheriff should be defending the rights of the individual.
Absolutely. If people ask, what is a constitutional sheriff? And the shortest answer is it's one whose oath matters, who demonstrates that his oath matters by putting his oath in action. See, the constitutions, plural, are supposed to be limiting documents, limiting the power of government. But when sheriffs don't put their oath in action by interposing, it renders the Constitution toothless and government unrestrained.
So let me ask you a question, because you look at these offices of sheriff, and I mean, I've been a leadership executive coach for 30 plus years, and I just wrote a column last week on how it's the leader who sets the weather in the organization. It's the leader who sets the tone, and everybody else kind of follows along because that's what they want, that job security. You talked about that earlier. Well, if you have a sheriff who is not following the constitutional sheriff mindset, if this sheriff is saying, well, the federal government says this, we have to do it, I'm saying that's going to trickle down through the entire agency, and that every deputy is going to be bowing down to whatever the federal dictate says, and that's a police state.
You're spot on there, spot on. And that's such an important point. The sheriff needs to understand that it's his job to inculcate in the culture of his agency, because every agency has a culture, right? Who you choose as your field training officers, the guys that are teaching the rookies how to do the job, right? That's so important. You need to pick, you need to build a culture that transfers to the next generation, and so that you don't just have this obedience to whatever is put in front of you. You need to understand, going back to the very beginning, what are our founding ethos? You know, of the United States, what is the proper role of government? We're told in the Declaration of Independence, the proper role of government is to defend God-given rights. And so if you don't have that lens, and all you're going to do is obey what a judge says or what the president says, you're really not serving the public. You're serving
a person.
A person, yes. And a lot of people would say that nowadays, government is simply organized crime. Mm. You know, and I think that's a pretty valid point in many respects. So how do you correct that? Well, you have to have strength and character and education and knowledge and a conviction to what I just said, what the proper role of government is. See, an oath should be both a force of conviction and restraint, right? In other words, I'm going to stop myself from doing things that are unconstitutional, right? And I'm going to do things that are constitutional. For example, Article 1, Section 18 of the State Constitution of Idaho guarantees free and open access to the courts, quote, without prejudice. So when deputies were arresting people at the steps of the courthouse in Ada County for not wearing a mask, they arrested them for failure to appear. Well, they wouldn't let them through the door because they're wearing a mask. A judge's edict to wear a mask cannot supersede Article 1, Section 18 of the State Constitution. The proper role of the sheriff's deputy in that situation would be to take that citizen arm in arm and walk them into the courtroom, deliver them to the judge. Now, if the judge doesn't want to hold court, that's on him or her, right? My duty as sheriff is to teach my deputies what their oath means, what it looks like in action. And that's a very real example that happened. That was a violation of the oath of office. Hmm. The proper thing to do, as I said, would be to walk that citizen into the courtroom.
So here you have, that was a very real example here in Idaho. People were arrested for, as you said, failure to appear when they had appeared.
Yes.
They were there, but they weren't wearing the mask, right? So now we don't see the sheriff per se on these locations, right? There's one sheriff. There's one person who is the sheriff.
Right.
Most of what the public interacts with is deputies.
Correct.
So they're deputy sheriffs. What would you say? I mean, here you have a constitutional mindset, and we're talking with Doug Traubel, by the way, author of Red Badge. What would you say to a person who is a deputy sheriff if the sheriff for whom he is working is not constitutional, what advice do you have for that deputy?
Challenge him in an election. Cut the head of the snake off. If you're working for a sheriff that you know is not constitutional, and you feel sick about some of the things that you're being pressured to do, you know, either transfer to another agency or challenge him in an election. The people deserve constitutional leadership, and I think it'd be very hard to sleep knowing that you are enforcing things that are unconstitutional. Or let's just say we already have a track record now. If COVID 2.0 comes around, right, the leadership hasn't changed yet at the sheriff's office, it's likely that the same behavior will continue. If you were part of that before, and you look back, hindsight being 2020, and you look back as a sheriff and think, I feel so sick over how we behaved on the courts of the step of the steps of the courthouse, rather, I don't want to be in that position again. Okay, well, there's two ways not to be in that position. Three. One, simply disobey the order, right? And suffer the consequences, you know. Two, transfer or quit. Or three, challenge the sheriff and run yourself if you really are of constitutional mindset.
Well, we are talking with Doug Trouble, author of Red Badge, a veteran peace officer's commentary on the Marxist subversion of American law enforcement and culture. I need to acknowledge a couple more of our sponsors, including the Exodus Institute. If you have children in what I call the government indoctrination system, and I've become very bold about that in recent days, recent months, and this whole year, just speaking out against how our education system has been taken over also by Marxist thinking. If you have your students in those schools, they are going to be indoctrinated into that system. There is no if. It is. That's what's happening. And so I strongly encourage you to please look for ways to get your kids out of those indoctrination systems. And one option you have is the Exodus Institute. They're a fully accredited K-12 online school. Your students are taught by experienced, credentialed Christian teachers, no political agenda, no woke indoctrination. And by the way, if you're already homeschooling, they have a supplemental program for kids in 5th through 12th grade. It's on-demand video. They do all the teaching. They do all the grading. It's only $20 a month, and you can cancel anytime. You can learn more by going to thinkexodus.org. That's thinkexodus.org. Our show is also sponsored by Picture Perfect Window Cleaning. And I know it's really close to Christmas, but it's probably still not too late. This might be the last week we say this, but if you haven't hung your Christmas lights up, I'm still seeing a lot of Christmas lights going up in my neighborhood. If you want to get your Christmas lights hung up, give them a call because they have ladders and they do a great job of helping people out. And they also do, of course, window cleaning and gutter cleaning and pressure washing and screen repair. And Tom Lopak is the owner, and you can call him and tell him you heard about his business here on the Keep the Republic show and save 10% off your total bill or $50 off any window cleaning job over $250, whichever is greater. They do both business and residential. Just tell him you heard about them on the Keep the Republic show to get your savings. Again, that's Tom Lopak. You can find their company at windowcleaningboise.com. That's windowcleaningboise.com. In our closing minutes, we are talking with Doug Trouble, author of Red Badge. And Doug, I want to read another paragraph in this intro on your book here. It says, Trouble sweeps aside the fog of the big lie, revealing deception in the public school system, universities, media, and government, which we were just talking about. The combined influences have created a suicidal culture that leaves the anchor points of America vulnerable to the chisels of the left. What do you mean by that?
Well, the premise of the left, and as you said earlier, Marxism's strength comes from division, is to attack our history. And there's enough truth in their criticism of our founding to give some credibility, but it's a very skewed lens that they see the United States through, and that's taught in the public schools. And what happens is we either become indifferent or hostile towards our origins because of the way that the left teaches, quote, history. You know, our history does have warts on it, certainly, but in the balance, this is the greatest country in the history of the world with more social mobility for everyone, regardless of race, mm-hmm. sex, you know, it's a beautiful place. Is it a perfect place? No, because men are not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the Marxists, they find fault. And you can find fault in anything. And that's the brilliance of their strategy. They find fault and they find, quote, victims. Now, they never actually improve the so-called plight of their so-called victims. That's just it becomes a way of advancing their revolutionary agenda. The common denominator that they attack is the Christian white male specifically. Now, you could be non-white and, of course, you know, you hold to Christian values and patriotism, and then they really hate you even more than the white Christian.
Because you're not waving their flag.
You're not waving their flag because they see things through a racial lens and a lens of division, as you say, right? And so that's how they get their toehold in our institutions and in our minds. And if you speak history that contradicts what they say, they want to shut you down. And so a lot of things in my book are parts of history that people don't know about, but just raising them, right, illuminating these little known facts causes them to attack you because they do not want people to think outside of the sort of paradigm that's spoon-fed to you in the public school system. You know, they want you to become the perfect Soviet.
Mm. You're so right. They focus on the negative. It's kind of funny. Their motto is hope and change, never results. It's just hope and change, but they never tell you what the change is going to be either, because the change is, as you say, it's to Marxism. So it's a nice little way to subvert the thought process of people and lead them astray, straight into the Marxist ideology. What really scares me, Doug, in our closing minute here, what really scares me is the amount of lies that we're being told, the gaslighting. And they'll write, we can see it with our own eyes what's going on, and they'll get up there and say, nope, that's not true. This is what really happened. And they say it so convincingly, and they expect us to believe it. That's the scary part.
That's right. They have these overlapping sort of fields of self-validation and to try to penetrate their sources of misinformation and disinformation is really a challenge. You know, you have the media, you have the schools, you have activist judges, lawyers. You know, fortunately, we have programs like this where we can get some of the other side out, but it's really hard to penetrate this cloud of lies and deception that most people see the world through, and they're deceived. So we need to pray that the scales will fall off people's eyes through programs like this.
And thank you. And that's what we encourage people to do, is share where this program is found, so you can hear it here on KBXL every Saturday morning. And it's also put up on the podcast platform Buzzsprout. You can go to keeptherepublic.buzzsprout.com. You can find an archive of all of the shows that we've done here, and you can share those with people. It's also out there on Google Play and Google Podcast. So you can find it in lots of different places. I guess it's on Spotify now. And share this program and share Doug's book. I mean, get this book, Red Badge, a veteran peace officer's commentary on the Marxist subversion of American law enforcement and culture. We have to try to save this republic. We have to keep, if we give up, we give up. It's gone. So with that, we're out of time. Doug Trouble, thank you so much for joining me here on Keep the Republic. You have been listening to Keep the Republic here on KBXL. We'll catch you next week at the same time. Until then, be blessed.
Thank you for tuning in to Keep the Republic, sponsored by Conservatives of Picture Perfect Window Cleaning and ThinkExodus.org. Also, please pray for our republic and for godly men and women who will work to keep it.